We're doing Kovetz Mamarim, the Igrot of Rav Chanan Wasserman. And we were in the middle of reading the essay that Rav Wasserman wrote after the great stock market crash, which led to the Great Depression. And people were pondering what caused this great downturn in the world economy. And we're on page Tet Zayin. And Rav Chanan Wasserman had discussed that part of human nature is that whenever we're successful, a person's wealthy, a person gets honor, any good things that happen, a person takes credit for. And when things go bad, so then a person looks for something or someone to blame. And we see this not only among Jewish people, but in the world at large, that whenever things go bad, people look for a finger to point at. He pointed out that in last week's parsha, we see a completely different approach. Everything seems to be going bad for the brothers. They've encountered this ruthless king who seems to be anti-Semitic, who lets everyone else have food but them, and he keeps making them problems. And we might say, look, he hates us. He's got it in for us. And what do the brothers of Joseph say? They say, oh, it's all our fault. It's all because of the way we behaved to Joseph so many years ago. So now we're paying the price for it. So that, you see, they looked at the world and they said, if something's going wrong, we have to look internally and see where we have to fix things. And there's a huge difference between these two approaches. If a person doesn't look at the root of the cause of what's happening, if he doesn't look at why would Hashem allow this to happen to me, if he doesn't look at that, so then he won't find his way out of the problem, because if Hashem wants him to have financial difficulty, then it'll come. If not this way, then another way. If that's the way Hashem wants it to play itself out, you're not going to succeed. What you have to do is figure out why does Hashem want this to happen and fix what's wrong in ourselves to merit having a better life. Obviously, we deal with technical details as well, but we have to look for the root of things. So he says, if we look for the root, so kodim kol, we're on page tetzayin, we'll review drop. Kodim kol tzich litamek b'ma ha'omek yoter shel ha'mashber lirot ma itamtzito. So let's analyze what's going on here. The great crash, what's going on? What is at the root? What's at the essence of the economic breakup? If we want to understand what cures are necessary, we have to properly diagnose what is the illness. The world seems to think there's a financial crunch. It's as though every individual, company, and kingdom is suffering from poverty. But if you look closely, then you notice that's an incorrect conclusion. An individual can become impoverished for different reasons. It can happen to a city or a country. Money moves, right? So individuals or countries can become poor, so then the money moves to other places. But you can't have a situation where the whole world is poor. The money's somewhere. Inflation. You're saying we can reach a point, but things still have value. So then your real estate has greater value. So your commodities have greater value. Your food has greater value. So it won't be in currency. I'm saying people don't have all their money in money. I'm saying the money bought something. So look at what happened here. One of the reasons that real estate went up in Israel was because of the financial crisis of 2008. People didn't know where to put their money. So gold went up and real estate went up. Not real estate in the United States, but real estate in Israel went up. I'm saying in different places, real estate went up. A lot of people in Europe were scared of what was going on. So they put their money here. China and Russia put their money in gold. Saying different banks found different ways to deal with it. But the world can't be impoverished. So the money's somewhere. The money didn't move to a different world. No one destroyed the money. So where'd all the money go? התשובה לכך היא פשוטה ביותר. The answer is very simple. החלק הערים מאוצרות הכסף נמצא בידיהם של מיליונרים פרטים או בקופות המדינות, אבל ללא תנועה. The masses of money are in private individuals' hands. You have millionaires who have tons of money, and you have different countries that have mounds of money. But the money is not moving. The currency is staying. There's no movement. There's no economic movement. Avad ha'emun ba'anashim. There's a loss of faith. Those of you who were following what was going on when Greece collapsed, so then why were they talking about the pigs? Because the pigs were the five countries, Portugal, Ireland, right? The five countries that were a threat to the world economy, because what happened was banks wouldn't transfer money. What happened in Greece was that you couldn't order a refrigerator because the refrigerator company wouldn't want to trust you that you'd give the money. And if you'd pay by credit card, they couldn't trust your credit card that it would pay. So what effectively happened is that all commerce stopped. Now, if all commerce stops, so then no one's making money. So when there's a loss of trust, that's why the EU's response was to build the trust, to back it with so much money that there will hopefully be trust. Because at the root of it, he's saying back then, was there was a lack of trust. Lo ma'aminim ze lazeh b'ofen she'yaniku ashray. No one trusts one another to give credit. V'yafshru kiyum mischa v'asakim. So then you can't have commerce. You can't have businesses when there's no trust. Habasis ha'kalkali shel ha'olam banuy al tnua iskit. The financial world is built on motion. There has to be movement. There has to be a buy, a sell, movement of products, movement of money. Hakesef tzrich lavo miyad liyad derech alfei yadayim. Money has to transfer thousands of hands. Al menat lekei mischar, in order for commerce to take place. Halvaot, you have to take loans, you have to have credit. When you pick up a product, when you're a store, they give you 30 days, 60 days, 90 days to pay because you have to have time to sell. You have to cover part of the cost. That's the way commerce works. Now, if there's no credit, if there's no trust, if you have to pay for everything that you received, so that means you have no time and no company can function that way. There are very few companies that have so much money. Almost every company works with a line of credit. Olam chesed yibaneh. He says that's the idea that it says in Psalms that kindness is what builds the world. When you can take credit, when you can give trust, when you can take trust, that's when the world is built. Lama nikra shemam zuzeh. The Medrash says, why are money called zuzi? Zuzim, what does the word zuz mean? To move. Money is always called, every term in Hebrew for money means movement. Kesef comes from the word nichsaf, something that's desired by this one and accepted by this one. It's always movement. Every word for money, if you know the language well enough in Hebrew, every word for money represents this idea that money is always in movement.
Can you answer, can you repeat
last name Kesef? On Kesef, the Medrash. Koach ha-kesef tamun b'nayadut shelo. The strength of money is in its movement. Kasher utzrot shlemim shekesef mukpaim. When you have hordes of money that are frozen, v'kayam pachad la'anid otam, and there's a fear of moving them, v'la'avram li'adayim achrot, and you don't want to give them, to transfer them to other hands, harein b'em mo'il af echad, so then they're not helping anyone. Gam lo le'bal ha-mamon atzmo. The one who owns the money is also not benefiting. Sharei kesef yivshar le'chol ve'lilbosh. You can't eat money, you can't wear money. You need the economy to function in order to have what to buy. Shalo rak hodot la'nayadut shelo u'mematzeh terko. It's only when you could use money that it has value. That's why in ancient times, before you had mass production, money was valued less than goods because money couldn't buy as much. If you needed a button for your sweater, you had to wait till the peddler came to town and maybe he had the right button. So the fact that you had money didn't help you because your neighbor wasn't about to take a button off of his sweater and give you the button. So it was very hard. That's why in the Talmudic times, they had a saying that Zavanta Kanita, if you bought something, now you're well off because money was only as good as what it could buy. And when you can't buy too much, so then money ain't worth that much. You should know that in the north of Israel, there are places where there's still tremendous barter going on. I know an accountant that does accounting for a lot of different people, and this one pays him in olive oil, and that one pays him, each one pays him in the commodities that they deal. There's still places in the world where they do a lot of barter. Zehu ha'alef bet ha'yisodi shel mada ha'kalkala. This is the fundamentals of economics. And that's the secret behind the general poverty that's going on in the world. הנה יודעים אנו כבר כי המשבר לא נוצר בגלל מחסור בכסף. So now that we all understand that what's happening is not because of a lack of money, אלא בגלל מחסור באמון. The root of it is a lack of trust. חסרה אמונה, there's a complete lack of faith. מתעוררת אם כן השאלה. So then we have to ask the question, למה באמת לקה עולם במצוקת אמונה? So then why is it that the world no longer trusts one another? Why is there this lack of faith? בתקופה שבה היו לנו נביאים, הם ניבו תמיד מראש על העונש שבא על העבירה. In the days of prophets, the prophets would always foretell us what was the cause. Why was a punishment coming to the world? זאת כי כאשר יעשה איש את בנו, השם לוקח מיעשיך. Because if Hashem would ever cause pain in the world, it was like a father causing pain to his child. There's a reason behind it. So when you have prophets, they could explain it to you. אין הכוונה למכות, אלא לתיקון ולשיפור המעשים. The punishment is not an ends. Anytime there's suffering in the world, it's a means to help people fix or improve their actions. בכיוון שלמען ישמעו ויראו, האב היא. It's like a father who says, I want you to listen, I want you to understand, I want you to change. So that's what's going on in the world. That's when you have prophets. אבל היום כשאין לנו נביאים, but today we don't have prophets. There are problems and there aren't prophets to explain them. קבע בורא שעונש יהיה מעין עבירה. So then the system is as follows. The punishment always fits the crime. And so we can look at the punishment and then from there deduce what was the transgression, what was done wrong. כלומר, מאותו מין של העבירה, כדי שנדע מה אנו צריכים לתקן. That is the way Hashem works with the world so that we can understand what we're supposed to fix. So if what we're seeing is there's a financial crunch because of lack of faith, בדור האחרון שקע עולם לתהום הכפירה. This past generation, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, has sunk to the depths of denial of Hashem's existence. ולא להאמין בהשם יתברך ובתורתו. There's a complete lack of faith in Hashem or His Torah. אמנם את יצר העבודה זרה ביטלו, even though today we don't have such a desire for paganism, אבל במקום זה מתחזק רחמנא ליצלן יצר הכפירה. So we don't have a desire for idol worship. What desire do we have today? We have a desire to deny the Creator. Tremendous desire to say, He doesn't exist, I can do whatever I want. שלפי התורה הוא חמור הרבה יותר, and the Torah actually views that as more grave than paganism. Al cheta avodah zarah danim bebetin, govim eidut. Over paganism, you need testimony, you need a court. In kol klalei hazeirut shedinei nefashot. We treat it with all the care that we do any other case that involves life and death. Vilu legabei kofrim v'apikorsin, mordin v'lo ma'alin. But when someone becomes an apostate, so there the halacha reacts much more sternly. Chovai al kol adam nesarkam lelo kol eidut. There every individual has a responsibility to get rid of the problem. We don't wait for testimony. We view that as a potential threat to everyone. Wait a second. But now he's saying most of the world is there. ובדבר זה תמונה מפתח למשבר עולמי. He says, here is hidden the cause of the international crisis. העונש ומעין העבירה. What's happening is a result, and it's similar to the transgression. אתם איבדתם האמונה בבורא העולם ותורתו. Hashem, so to speak, is saying, you don't trust me anymore, right? I don't exist. My Torah doesn't exist. שבא עם מנהיג את העולם. You're not willing to admit that I have a system that I run my world with. ובגלל זה נלקחה מכם גם אמונה ואמון באנשים. So then you won't trust one another either. You don't trust me, you won't trust your neighbor either. ואתה תראו כיצד יוכל להתנהל עולם ללא אמונה. You want to have no faith? Fine, how can you run a world without faith? Try it. It's as Hashem saying, I'll show you what happens if you don't. אין פורנות לעולם בא... Okay, sorry. אין פורנות בא לעולם אלא בשביל ישראל. The Talmud tractate Yevamos tells us a scary thought. It says if something bad happens in the world, it's because of the Jewish people. Wow. Doesn't sound like something a Jew would say, right?
Yes, every nation in the world says.
ובשביל עמי הארץ. Right. The Talmud says... פורענות אינה מקרה, אלא אזהרה והתראה. If something bad is happening, there's a warning intrinsic to that. כדי להתבונן איפה מצוי החסרון העצמי ומהו הליקוי. Person has to analyze and say, okay, what's missing? And now we're concluding this essay on page י"ח, ועדיין הכל קשה. למה לקוי העולם כיום כל כך באמונת השם יותר מבכל הדורות? But why is it that this generation has such a hardship in the faith of Hashem more than any other generation? גם על זה נותן את התשובה. תורה תשובה. The Torah answers that question. The Torah says, ושרתם ועבדתם, כיוון ששר אדם מן התורה מיד מתאבק בעבודה זרה. The answer, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, is because the second a person walks away from Torah, so then he right away goes to the other side. It's very hard to stay in the middle. This was a mistake that many people made after World War II. People said, I'll maintain the faith. I'll bring up my children with a Jewish atmosphere. There was a phenomenal young woman who landed in the United States when she was 16 after the Holocaust. She had no family. She had distant relatives who took her in. And then one night they took her out to a restaurant. So they're all eating and she's not touching the food. So they asked her, why aren't you eating? So she said, I don't think it's kosher. So they said, sure it's kosher. Look, we're all Jews eating it. And she said, I don't think it's kosher. So she's, think about it, she's the only one there, right? So they called over the waiter and they asked him, is the food kosher? So the waiter said, no. So they asked him, but there's a Jewish restaurant. So the waiter said, right, it's kosher style. Story goes back 50 years ago. So a lot of people maintained kosher style. They thought I could keep my children with it. Kosher style, you know. There's a butcher on the Lower East Side. Last time I was there, he was still there. He had in his storefront, he had the following sign. It said, Basar, Basar. But the base of the second Basar was just cut off, so it looked like it said Kasher. Okay, so it was just, you know, it didn't jut out. It said Basar, Basar. Really, it said meat, meat. But that base looked like a chaf. So you look at it and you thought it said Basar Kasher, right? It didn't have a Hechsher. So people thought, hey, if I can just hold on to a little bit, I'll make kiddush for my kids, right? I'll tell them they have to marry Jewish. But I'll live out somewhere in the Hicks. And it failed. The root of maintaining a Jewish lifestyle is Torah. There's no other way. If a person, that's what the Talmud warns us, if a person moves away from Torah, it's not like he could stay the middle ground. The second you move away, you start shifting the other way. And that, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, is why our generation has had such difficulty with kfirah, with people going all the way the opposite extreme. And this is something that's so relevant to everyone here. Hey, you guys are going to move on from Machon Meir. At one point, you're going to go to college. At one point, you're going to get a job. You have to have a set time for learning every day. Every day. I tell guys when they're going into the army, take 2 halachot a day, not more than that. Because in the army, you can't do more than that. It's not realistic. But 2 halachot a day, do. Do 5 psukim a day if you don't want to do 2 halachot. But if every day you're doing a little bit, you're still connected to Torah. Have a little bit. I always say have one Seder, have one time of learning that's Yehar Gval Yavar. That you say, whatever happens, I don't miss it. I always tell the story that I tried to have that Seder. And on my wedding night, I called my chavrus. I said, here, photocopy for you, photocopy for me. In the middle of the wedding, when everyone sits down to eat, we go off to the Yichud room, we have our 5 minutes of learning. Because you got to have every day, you got to have its learning, right? You can't say, I'm getting married tonight, so that's it, no more Torah. No, you got to have some learning. So everyone sat down to eat, and I excused myself. Everyone thought I was going to the restroom, so they let the chatan go, right? 5 minutes, I sat down with my charuta in the Yichud room. We learned for 5 minutes. You can do it. A person has to do it. You have to try to have something that's a steady in your life, a steady learning. There's a Rebbe here in the yeshiva whose wife was very ill, and he had to run the house. I mean, he had a little one who was still in diapers, and his eldest was 13, I think. So he had 5 or 6 kids between the age of 13 and 2, and it wasn't easy running the house. He was running the house and dealing with her medical needs, but he and she every night had a chavruta on the phone. For a few minutes, they'd learn with someone on the phone. And they always said, you think it's out of piety. That's what helps us keep our sanity. That we have those 2-3 minutes a day where we zone out, we zone into Torah for 2-3 minutes. That's what gives us the strength. A person has to try within his lifetime to have set times that he's learning. This is a route to life. This is a key piece of advice Rashi's telling us here. Rav Chanan Wasserman is quoting a Rashi in the name of the Sifri. Once a person leaves Torah, he quickly shifts to the other side. It's almost impossible to maintain the middle ground. You got to have some Torah every day of your life. Our desire, our inclination, tries to shift our mind and heart from learning and working at Torah. Notice the two aspects, our mind and our heart. Sometimes it's intellectual. You've been thinking all day, you're tired. Come on, it's old stuff, you know it. Our mind, sometimes it's our heart. It's not so exciting, it's not so exhilarating. And once a person has let go of Torah, then all kinds of poison can enter his heart. But these poisons are always encased in a different encasing. Sometimes they call it be patriotic. Sometimes they call it be socialistic. Sometimes they call it be liberal, be caring. All kinds of names. You know, there was always a question during the McCarthy era. They'd ask, if you found out your wife was a communist, should you turn her in or not? Does your loyalty to your wife come first, or does your loyalty to your country come first? Where should a person be? So, yes, there are all kinds of questions, but all this confusion comes in when a person has stepped away from the Torah. And then the confusion comes in the name of all kinds of other theories. And so Rav Elchanan Wasserman concludes, he says, the root of the crisis is because the world has rebelled against Hashem's order, that Hashem's running the world. All the other reasons are not the root of it all. The root of the crisis is not a lack of money, it's a lack of faith. And the root of lack of faith between man and his fellow man stems from a lack of faith in the guidance of Hashem. Hashem's running the world. That's at the root of man's lacking faith to one another. So I want to conclude with a story. Businessman told me the following story. He was notified by a very big company that he worked with that they had a financial claim against him, and they called him in. So he comes in, and he's sitting opposite three CEOs, and they have a whole slew of lawyers behind them. They're this big company that he's been working with, and he's sitting opposite those three CEOs, and they lay out their claims before him, and he goes over the claims, and when he finishes going over the claims, he says, look, claim number one, I agree with you. You're right. I'll pay it. Claim number two and three, I don't think they're true. You're making a claim which is not true. It's just factually not true. So I want to ask you a question. How many of us are there in this room? So they look at him like he's crazy. And they say, huh? He says, how many of us are sitting here in this room? They say, four. He says, no, there are five. God's in this room too. I'm going to leave this office and you guys will send me a bill. And whatever bill you send me, I'll pay. But I want you to remember that God's in this room too. And with that, he got up and walked out. He only got the bill for the first one. Yeah, these are one of those stories that you don't believe unless you hear from the guy who it actually happened to. Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, the lack of faith between man and man stems from a lack of faith that there is a creator that's watching what's going on down here. That's at the root of it all. If I can have faith in him, then I can have faith in the next guy too. And that's the essay on the financial crisis back then, the beginning of the 20th century.